I love how we just open the service just with that culture of honor. And I just want to sow into that just a little bit more. This morning when I woke up, I just was sitting before the Lord and I was asking the Father. I said, you know, Jesus could see what the Father was doing. And I said, Lord, would you let me see what you're doing right now? What is the Father doing? And literally I had this vision. What I saw is I saw men and they began to pop up like everywhere. One man would arise here and another man would arise here and another man would arise here. And I asked the Lord, I said, what are you doing? And he said, my spirit right now is working on the inside of men and I'm causing them to arise and I'm going to place the fathers. And we are in a prophetic season where God is going to be placing the fathers. And so I wanted to take a moment and I want to honor all men. I'm not going to ask you to stand, but I just want to acknowledge you. And I want to read a prophetic word that I found from Kim Clement. When I saw this, I really bore witness and I said, you know, this is exactly what God's doing. Kim Clement was ministering somewhere and the power of God came over him. And he heard the Lord say, an incredible move of God that was going to take place amongst the men in the kingdom, fathers, husbands, entrepreneurs, and leaders. God was going to restore the priestly anointing to the men of this nation once again. The Lord is going to move upon the men and restore them back to their high priestly position. The Spirit of God says there is a mighty army coming forth. God says there is about to be a huge revival with men. Men should be greatly touched. Men will begin to shout out. Men will begin to dance like David danced and pray like Daniel prayed. Beloved, this is a historic moment in human history where God is restoring the apostolic order once again. And the Lord spoke to me and said, Amanda, I want to restore the apostolic order in the church, but I have to restore it in the families first. And so when men begin to take their position, then women will begin to take their position. And then the apostolic order is truly being restored. And families, the institution of marriage, the institution of family, is really what governs and shapes our society. So that's what's going to govern and shape the church, the bride of Christ. So I just want to take a moment, and if you're a man, I want to honor you on behalf of a woman, and I want to say thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you laid down. Thank you for the dreams that you didn't pursue for another because you were loving your wife. Thank you for your position, and I'm so honored that we're literally in the moment where God is restoring you to your high priestly anointing. We just want to honor every man in Jesus' name. Okay, well, I'm excited. I do have a word burning on my heart. One of my favorite scriptures, and they started singing it today, almost came undone. And it's the true, I call it the rhetorical question of all the ages. What manner of love is this that we should be called children of God? What manner of love? It's like the Holy Spirit whispers in our ear this rhetorical question. And as we begin to pursue the revelation of what manner of love it is, literally we find more of God. And we go, we find something and we go deeper and deeper. The more that we know, the more that we want, the more that we go closer to God. And it's like God has continued to release the revelation that we're his children. But he's also releasing the revelation that we're not called to just be his children. We're called to arise into our sonship. See, the thing with being dear children is that we're always going to be dearly loved by the Lord. His love is endless, unsearchable, unmatched. It cannot be compared. He loved you before the foundation of the world. He created the world. He created the spans of time so that he could birth the desire of his heart, which was you. His love is endless and cannot be matched. And you are a dearly loved child. But we're also given in Christ sonship. See, a dearly loved child always will get their needs met. Always. My daughter, 7, if she needs something, she gets her needs met. But the difference of growing up in sonship is now we begin to access inheritance.
And this is the hour where God is, he's literally fulfilling prophetic promises that he's released. Has anybody in the room still have an outstanding prophetic promise? God spoke something to your heart. You've had a dream or a vision and you've been going after it. Yeah, hands, feet, everything, yeah, me too. And when I talk to people, I notice, you know, they're downcast. They're waiting for that promise to be fulfilled. But God said and God promised, and why is it coming to pass? And I really felt the Lord speak to me a revelation of the heart of the Father that I want to share with you today. And it has everything to do with your destiny, your identity, and who you are in Christ. See, if the enemy can steal your identity, he can steal your destiny. But Jesus came, and he came that he would fulfill all that he destined and prepared over your life. And the amazing thing is he did it all. He finished everything there was to be done. And so when we walk in this place of convergence, and what I mean by that is convergence actually means the place of meeting. When you meet that place of your prophetic call and destiny, God is leading you by his grace because he's already prepared the way. See, a lot of times with the prophetic promise, we think that when we hear a prophetic promise, that that's the first time God just goes, oh, you know, that's what I want you to do. I want you to write a book. And we think that's the first time God came up with that. But the truth is, God had already had that predestined before you were even born. And so before you were created, God spoke words, blessings. He spoke prophetic destiny over you that he is going to be faithful to lead you into and perfect into your life. He perfects all things that concern you. And so he wants to fulfill these prophetic promises. He does. And the church right now is suffering from this reality of, you know, a hope deferred makes the heart grow sick. A hope deferred makes the heart grow sick. We're losing insight because we're focusing on ourselves. We're focusing on what we think we want or how the promise should be manifested. And the Lord is turning the gaze from ourselves and turning it back on to the one thing, Jesus Christ. And we begin to gaze at Jesus and see that he is our inheritance. He is our promise. He is our promised land. Then literally the prophetic promises that were declared over your life are going to begin to manifest because you're going to be walking in your sonship because you're in Christ. Because you're in Christ. And God wants to fulfill that. One of the things that I've learned is that when we really want to know the heart of God, we have to kind of retrace his steps back to the beginning. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the truth is, humanity has only been grafted into the story for such a short amount of time compared to the vast, infinite age of God. There was quadrillion of bajillion years of eternity before there was time. And so in that place of eternity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, they call a council meeting concerning the desire of the Father's heart and the desire of the Son's heart. And you are the inspiration and the motivation of that reality. And an eternal covenant was formed and fashioned that had nothing to do with you, but everything to do with you. Everything to do with you because you were the love and the desire in his heart that caused the God himself to come out of glory, to take on mortal flesh and walk this earth, to fulfill a destiny so that you could literally in him fulfill that destiny. And so an eternal covenant was created for you. And this eternal covenant was Jesus signing up for reality that he would go to the cross and finish a work. And see, when we look at the cross, we think the cross is when it was finished. But it was finished in eternity because Revelation 3:18 says, the Lamb of God was slain before the foundation of the world. He was slain before the foundation of the world. That means every prophetic promise spoken of your life was sealed before the foundation of the world. You are not a mistake. You are not here by accident. You have a significant role in this hour, a significant role. And God is calling us forth into the sonship through the revelation of his love and grace for us. And I want to show you this.
I'm going to do this on the board here. So this is the cross right here, okay? So we have 1,000 years. We have 2,000 years. So eternity's over here. God comes and manifests the desire of his heart. He comes to the cross. He prepares the way for you and I. And then 1,000 years go by, 2,000 years. So now we're getting up to the present moment. And the Bible says that 1,000 years is as one day to the Lord, right? So we have one day. So then we have 2 days. And here we are in this prophetic moment of history. And here you are, right here. And you have a huge role to play. But this is the amazing thing. On the third day, God resurrected. He came alive. And beloved, we have entered into that new life in Jesus Christ, a place of grace. And I want to show you this. Go to Hosea chapter 2, verse 6. They were talking about revival. Revival is coming, and that's why God is stirring up these desires. He's stirring up these promises again. He's stirring up these passions and these desires in us. It says, therefore, behold, I the Lord. Wait, Hosea 2, 6? That's not it. Sorry, let me look real quick. How about 6:2? Is that it? Yes. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up that we may live in his sight. After 2 days, he will raise us up. He is raising us up. I want to show you a scripture that the Lord really encountered my heart with. It's Romans 8, 14 through 15. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For the Spirit which you have now received is not a spirit of slavery to put you once more in bondage or fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption, the Spirit of producing sonship in the bliss which we cry, Abba, Father. And then look at verse 19. For even the whole creation, all nature, waits expectantly and longs earnestly for God's sons to be made known, waits for the revealing, the disclosing of their sonship. We have been called by the Lord into this place of inheritance in Christ, in this place of sonship. And even the earth, all of creation, is waiting expectantly and they're longing, cheering you on, that literally the sons of God would raise up in their identity, that would raise up in who they've been called to in Christ. We have been adopted by God into the household of God. And we can look at that and it might not look like a huge thing, but when is the last time that you've seen an accidental adoption? I've never seen an accidental adoption. Ever. Jesus is not up there going, man, I should have never made that covenant. I should have never created the world. I never should have went to the cross. This was all an accident. I didn't mean for them to actually be partakers with Christ. He went through a process and he paid a lofty price and his blood was shed, prepared the way, sealed you for eternity.
And he calls you son. He calls you son. It is not an accident. So literally, when we are adopted into the household of God, we have the same position that Christ has. The Bible says, as Jesus was on this earth, so are we. So are we. We have the same position. Look at the love that the Father had for the Son. And the Father would give that Son so that he could receive all of you as sons. Because Jesus really was the seed. And if we're in Jesus, look at the seed of sons the Father would receive and inherit. Paul knew this reality to be true. Ephesians 3, 17 through 19. I'm going to read this scripture to you. For I always pray to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may grant you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, of insight into mysteries and secrets, and the deep and intimate knowledge of him, by having the eyes of your heart flooded with light so that you can know and understand the hope to which he has called you and how rich is his glorious inheritance in the saints, his set apart ones. And so that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his power in and for us who believe as demonstrated in the working of his mighty spirit. In other words, Paul is praying over the church. Every time he remembers the church, he's praying that the spirit of wisdom and revelation would be released, that insight would flood their heart to who they have been called to in Christ, that they would know the hope of their calling. Christ is saying that they would know the hope of their calling. He has a hope in you that you would walk in that fullness of the grace of God that's released over your life so that you can stand as David and say, look around and go, I have done everything that was destined and spoken over my life. He was praying that they would know the hope in which they've been called. You are Christ's inheritance. You are Christ's inheritance. And the thing with inheritance is when we receive inheritance, it's not just for us. Our inheritance is like far beyond us. So when we begin to access our inheritance, then we begin to literally being able to touch and bless other people because our inheritance is not just for us. It's Christ's inheritance. You think Christ doesn't want to give you his own inheritance? He does. He does. And so I want to encourage you, if you've been holding on to a prophetic promise, this is the hour that God is going to fulfill that promise. I had, and I'm telling you, I feel it with all conviction. I had a dream. And in this dream, I was pregnant and I was full term. And I knew that it was a promise of the Lord, living, breathing, growing inside of me. And it came my due date and the baby never came. And so I was like, okay, no problem. You know, it's going to come. So I just sat there and I waited and months went by and months went by and months. And the baby never came. And I thought, well, the process is that the baby's just going to come out. So I'm just going to wait here. And I'm going to wait. The baby's going to come. And I wait. And then all of a sudden, things start happening. My heart starts having these palpitations. I start having pain in my heart. And I'm like, what is going on? So I go to the doctor and they do an x-ray. And they're looking, and the doctor just stands, and he's like, oh. He's looking at me, and he's looking at the screen, and he's like, do you want to see what's going on here? And I'm like, yeah, absolutely. And he turns the screen to me, and there's not a baby in my stomach. There's a full-grown child inside of my stomach, and he was kicking on my heart to try to push himself out. And so sometimes when those transitions come or those things that cause a little bit of friction like sandpaper, God is trying to birth the promise that's already full term on the inside of you. And God has always been one that has always allowed to manifest in the natural that which he's doing in the spirit. I'll give you a few examples. One was the veil. When Christ died on the cross, the shakings came, the veil was torn from top to bottom. Why did it manifest in the natural? It manifested in the natural because it was already manifested in the spirit, and it was a natural sign for humanity to see that which had taken place in the spirit. And I've just been asking the Lord, I go, I have five friends in the last month that their 40 weeks came, they're on 41 weeks, and I'm thinking, oh my, I mean, when I was pregnant, like 28 weeks, I was like, let's do this thing. You know, we got to get it out. And these women have all this grace. They're just waiting, and they're happy, and they look beautiful in makeup, and they're like 41 weeks, 42 weeks. And I'm like, and I asked the Lord, I'm like, why? Why are they all going past this? God was allowing something to manifest in the natural so that we could see. Then me and my best friend, we went to eat one day, and I was sharing this with her, and we went up to this lady, she took her, you know, payment and everything, and we look at her, and she's like, looks like she's due any minute. So we're like, when are you due? And she's like, any second, I'm past 40 weeks. And me and her just look at each other like, oh. And we ask, what's his name? She says, Jeremiah Messiah. Jeremiah Messiah. Listen, when Jeremiah, he was anointed a prophet to the nation while he was still, before he was in the womb, the Bible says that God fully knew him, fully loved him, set him apart for inheritance and a calling before he was even created, and he would bring Jeremiah forth in that anointing. So why are the prophetic promises full term? Why is this happening? God wants to release these prophetic promises, but it's going to take us believing in Christ, believing in his finished work, believing in his grace, and yielding and surrendering it to all, because he's the only one that can manifest it. You can't push the baby out. It's a natural process called grace that's going to birth that promise through you. But we have to believe it, we have to receive it, and it has to be our strong stance and conviction, because we are sons of God. I look at John the Beloved as a disciple. He was so faithful. He was present at the crucifixion, the resurrection. When other disciples fled, he was there at the feet of the cross. They said, God, how is he so faithful? I want that faithfulness. He was the one that was steadfast next to the Lord. And you know what? When John received the invitation of the Lord, Jesus said to him, come and follow me, and I will make you a fisher of men. You think John, a fisher of fish, knew what that meant? You think he had the skills and the ability to be a fisher of men? Absolutely not. See, the calling over your life is exceedingly abundantly above all you could think of, ask, or even imagine. And you and your natural strength cannot produce that. You cannot. God takes full ownership, full responsibility to birth that promise through you by leading you and equipping you and guiding you and teaching you and loving you. And when we try to step off course, he graciously puts us back on course. When we wake up with a bad attitude and we want to think that negative thought, he begins to prophesy love over us. He begins to stir up desire within us. He releases his presence. He gives us the gift of song and dance, so we can stay in agreement with his heart. God is releasing the prophetic promises. This is the hour if we believe in him, because he will manifest all things through himself. I want to show you this. One of the reasons I believe the church has had a hard time stepping into the sonship is because that apostolic authority that I was talking about in the beginning hasn't been set in place. See, the Lord spoke to me and said that he's placing fathers. He is placing fathers. And when we look at what fathers are the ones that bless. Fathers are the ones that encourage. Fathers are the ones that look past all the failures, insecurities, and differences, and sees the beauty within and calls it forth. Fathers are the one that stand next to you when everybody else has forsaken you. Fathers are the ones that believe in you, are rooting for you, are cheering for you. God is placing fathers in the church. Those that would look into the ones that still operating in the orphan mentality. I did a search, and I found this statistic fact that 80%, 84% of the people that claim to be lovers of God, who claim the name of Jesus, 84% of them did not really believe that God loved them and his grace was enough for them. 84%. We are not orphans. We've been adopted into the household of God. And I want to see 100% of the people that receive the name of Jesus to rise up in their sonship, knowing they are a dearly loved child, and it will always be their stance, not based on your performance, not based on anything except for what he did for you because he loved you. He's placing fathers. See, he gives us promises as an invitation. Promises are invitations for us to have an upgrade in our identity so that we can begin to access the fullness of our destiny. I'll give you an example. The Lord told me 2.5 years ago to write a book. And I was busy with ministry. I was doing all these things for God, trying to be faithful and doing all these things. And he kept bringing it up, and I was like, yeah, that's awesome, God. We'll get there. I'm too busy now. Put it to the side. See, I thought I was walking in inheritance. I thought I was walking in destiny because I was doing really, really good things for God. And then one day, he starts removing the grace for what I'm doing. And I'm like, wait a minute, what's going on here? That wasn't my own strength. I mean, I'm naturally not that gifted. What is that? And he started stirring desire up on the inside of me for something else. And I go, well, maybe that's not God. And we quench the desire, therefore quenching our destiny. Do we think God is not that big? If he created you out of dirt and breathed his own life into you so that you could live, you think he can't breathe a desire into your heart? Yes, he can. And he does. And as we sit in his presence, these desires begin to stir. And all of a sudden we go, oh, I would like to do that. I would like to go here. I would like to see that. What if? And we start dreaming again. We start dreaming again. Because God wants to manifest that promise. It starts in the form of a seed called desire. And so when the Lord began to remove that grace and started stirring up grace for other things, this is when I encountered the God of grace. Because you see, me writing a book, I do not have the natural ability to do that. And I did not believe that I could do it because I didn't see myself as an author. So the invitation to write a book, to become an author, I began to look at Jesus going, wait a second. This is the man of all holy parables. Every story he breathed is still live in operation today. I mean, he was the best author that the world has ever seen or known. I mean, his work is literally the largest in print, touching every nation. I mean, he was the greatest author. So what I needed to do was get my eyes off of myself, put them on Jesus, and receive that upgrade in my identity, seeing myself in Christ as an author so that I can begin to walk in destiny. That's what God's saying. There's some of you, you've had a promise inside of you for a long time, and the Lord says it's an invitation to upgrade in your identity so that you can access the fullness of your inheritance. Fathers, call that forth. Fathers, call that forth. If you can start putting up the slide. Fathers give way to sons. And when Jesus walked on the earth, one of the reasons he could stand up before darkness and not be intimidated or fearful or anything is because he knew who he was. When he came to John to be baptized in the water, literally the sky opened and the Father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Jesus just said, "I'm taking that one." And he stood up, believed he was loved, and walked in his identity as a dearly loved son. I wanted to show this because I thought it was so powerful. You know, fathers play such a significant role, and when we understand our love with our everlasting Father, it's amazing. But when we gaze at everlasting Father, he begins to call us forth as fathers as well and place them in a midst. Some of you, God has been asking you to start a small group. Some of you are in different spheres of influence, maybe business, and you're like, "Why am I here? Why am I here?" God is saying, "I've placed you as a father. Look around into these ones that are struggling, trying to find themselves. See the good in them and call them forth into their identity." And it is so powerful. As I started studying this, I go, "Oh my goodness, how do we miss this? The power of blessing that comes from the Father." Look at the scripture, John 7:38. Who believes in me, as the scripture has said, from his innermost being shall flow continual springs and rivers of living water. There's a river of life on the inside of you that God has breathed and has placed you strategically so that literally that living water from the throne of God can be released and people can experience the refreshing of his love and grace. So we literally just yield to that. Now look at this. I thought this was so powerful. Go to the next slide. There was these tests done by a Japanese scientist. These tests were done, and what they did is they took two bottles of water on each one of these tests and they set them up. This first slide is a water mineral that literally, when every time somebody walked by the water, they thought a negative thought. Now, they didn't say anything. They didn't label it. They just thought a negative thought. They just go, "Oh, I can't stand up." Just a thought. "Oh, I can never do that. Oh, I'm so, oh, I can't do it. Oh, oh, oh." All this negative thoughts. This was it. Go to the next slide. This is the water molecule that when people walked by the water, they thought a positive affirmation or positive thought. Isn't that beautiful? Go to the next slide. The bottle of waters were sitting there. Another set came out. And this time, when people walked by, they say get a negative thought. You think he really could be an author? You think you really should start that prayer group? Do you have what it takes? Do you think you really could be a preacher? Really? You want to go after that business? Now the next one, positive affirmations. You can do anything in Christ. You are the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. He is the one that conquered it. He's the one that perfected it. You can do all things. Dare to dream. Positive affirmations were released. Go to the next slide. Now this is powerful. This is a water bottle that sat there and was forgotten about. It didn't have a label. Nobody thought about it. Nobody talked to it. It just sat there in isolation. People forgot about it. Now go to the next one. This is the water molecule of one that was labeled love. They put a label on it that said love. And this is what it created. God has labeled you. The world cannot label you. You can't label yourself. Your beloved Father has labeled you as love. And this water, our bodies are made of between 60 to 78% water. Our brain and our heart alone is made up of 78% water. You think when you think a negative thought about yourself or speak a negative thing that it doesn't affect you? It does. But the fathers call it forth. The fathers are the ones that come up to you and go, "You can do anything, girl. Go after it." The fathers are the ones that look into the depths and go, "You know what? I'm calling you out of isolation because you're a son." Those are the ones. The fathers are the ones that do that. Fathers are the ones that do that. And we're all called to be fathers. Who is that person in your life that you feel that God's asking you to extend your wings of love and grace over them, to call them forth, to literally release the revelation of the Father's love over their life so that they agree with the label that's on their life from God, which is love, and not the label that the world places on them? We've been given this authority as fathers. Now go to the next slide. I love this. I took these three beautiful ones and I looked and I found these medals of honor. Look at that. Beautiful. God honors you. He honors the calling over your life. He honors your stance before him. He sees you as pure in righteousness. Your identity is that of the righteousness of Christ. Don't let another condemn you. You know, when we look at Samson, we call it's Samson and Delilah. That's how we know him. How about Samson that delivered Israel? How about Samson why do we always have to revert to the negative? What about Samson, the one that got his strength from God? Why do we always have to label his sin? That's not what fathers do. Fathers say, you've been forgiven, you've been redeemed, and you have a calling, and you're going to receive your inheritance and walk in the fullness of that. The Father releases his blessing over you. He releases the blessing over you. So we're seeing a great revival happening, and it has everything to do with God restoring his apostolic order that includes the fathers. It includes the men. So we literally, as women, need to honor and reverence and respect the position of our men. Because look at the power that comes forth when our men arise. They are anointed to do this. You know, a father is anointed to love. A father is anointed to think good things about his son. A father has a grace to let the little things go. A father will always have mercy on his son no matter what he does, no matter how despicable it is. The father knows the calling and walks in that calling before we can. You know, as a daughter, I have a daughter, and I look at her and I go, you know what? She has an anointing and she has a calling. I know she's a worshiper and I know she's a lover. And I have to protect, as a mother, I have to protect that calling and that anointing upon her life, because I know the enemy would love to come in and steal her of her identity and make her feel abandoned and rejected and not good enough through the things that happen in her life. But I tell you, it's a lie. The devil is a liar. But God is speaking truth. And so I, as a mother, I protect my daughter. And if us being humans do that as mother and fathers, how much does God do that for us? He protects us. When I was a little girl, every time I got scared, I always called my dad, Dad. Hey, Dad, love you, Dad. What's up, Dad? But when I got scared, the first word on my mouth was not Dad. It was Daddy. Daddy. First time I got in my car accident, boom, somebody hit me. Daddy. Daddy was the first one I called for. That spirit, that Holy Spirit, the spirit of promise lives on the inside of us, is our adoption. He lives on the inside of us, and he literally produces the cry of Abba, Daddy, on the inside of us, because Daddy loves, because Daddy protects, because Daddy produces. Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. I feel like there's a grace right now. I just want to respond to it. I feel like many of you have been in transition. God's been morphing you out of one thing and morphing you into another. You lost grace for some other things, but he released grace for other things, and he's been calling you to arise, to respond, to take a step in the reality of our sonship and begin to access convergence. And so if that's you, I just want you to raise your hand. If you feel like you've been in a transition, that God's doing a new thing in your life, I just want you to raise your hand. God is a God of change. He is the God of transition. He knows where you've been, and beloved, he knows the end from the beginning, and he knows where you're going. He knows where you're going. I just want to pray right now over you. There's a grace in the room, so I just want you to receive from your daddy. Receive from your daddy. He's lavishing love, blessing upon you right now. Father, right now, we release your spirit over each one. We release the grace of God right now over each one, the reality of the finished work of Christ over each one right now in Jesus' name. I ask that you would stir up desire and stir up faith, that you would release the revelation of their identity and that they are called sons. Father, I ask that you right now would shut every door that you are not opening in this season, that it would not be confusion or distraction. It would not distract in any way. And Father, right now we say you are the one that opens up the double doors of favor, of blessing, of increase, and of destiny. And so right now, we loose these children. We loose these sons and daughters of God right now in Jesus' name to walk through that door of encounter, to experience your fullness. I feel like some of you, it's even been a job thing. You've been losing grace for something you're doing in your job, and you're like, I'm not sure if what I should do with that. And God's stirring up desire for something else. He's going to make it evidently clear, and you will not be confused. You hear his voice. I feel like there's some people here that you have a business, and God's been speaking to you about starting another business. And you're like, but this business hasn't been really operating in the fullness yet. Why would I open up another business? And God's releasing his grace. He's releasing desire for you to do that. Because he knows your inheritance. Because your inheritance is his inheritance. And Jesus will receive his inheritance. Yeah. Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your grace, God. We thank you for your grace. I feel like some of you have, in this season, maybe even felt a little bit of confusion. And the confusion has left you feeling like you're alone. Is God here? Is he in the midst? Is he doing this? Is this what he's asking of me? You're going to your word. You're seeking for revelation. And you're like, God, I believe in you. Where are you at? Let me see you manifest. And God reminds you that he is your ever-present help in time of need. He is your ever-present help in time of need. I heard the Lord just say that some circumstances have actually been what's kept people from literally stepping into their destiny. All this warfare is happening and things are happening, shakings all around them in their life and their household. So circumstances has literally not been that wonderful, and that's kind of left us in this place. But I want to read Isaiah 60 verse 1. I'm just going to pray it over you. It says, arise from the depression and the prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Rise in the new life of grace and shine. Be radiant with the glory of the Lord, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. This is the season that we arise into our sonship, because we have an everlasting Father that has declared identity over each one of us. I feel right now the Lord is even, I just see like grace coming like rain, and he's releasing new ideas. New ideas. It's like he's literally putting in our mind, that's what we've been feeling in our heart. we've been filling it in our heart. We've been filling these desires and these new passions in our heart, but we can't put words to it because we don't understand. Right now, the Lord is releasing revelation. He's releasing insight. In Jesus' name. I want to close with this. Yes. What is it? Isaiah 59, 15 through 20, 19 through 20. So as a result of Messiah's intervention, they shall reverently fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him and put him to flight. For he will come like a rushing stream, which the breath of the Lord drives. He shall come as a redeemer to Zion and to those of Jacob who turn from transgression and say, "The Lord, the Lord." Amen. Thank you, Lord. So, I want to close with this. Curtis, come here for a second. The Lord loves to release prophetic promises over your life. He loves to do it. See, you got to understand that he's known those prophetic promises since before the world was created. So he's been eagerly waiting to reveal his secrets and mysteries to you. I mean, have you ever gotten that really good revelation secret like you want, and it's like building up on the inside of you, you're like fire shot up in your bones, you want to tell somebody? That's the Lord. He has this revelation of your destiny, and he wants to share it with you. He really does. He wants to share it with you. And one of the things that, you don't have to be nervous. I'm okay. Sweet. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. You're scaring me up here, Curtis. You're loved by the Father. You are. He's highlighting you because this season's going to be very special for you. Yeah. See, when God shares with us a prophecy, the reason that this can happen is because in eternity before you were created, God literally foreordained a destiny. He literally wrote it out every day, destined, and he wrote it out. So when someone comes and prophesies, what they're doing is literally, you got to imagine, God is holding up this scroll like this. And so we're just telling Curtis that which is on the scroll that was written by the Father. So at that moment, that's when Curtis is gaining insight to that which was promised in his life, so that he can believe it, so that he can agree with it, so that he can turn his eyes to Jesus and let the God of grace manifest that promise in his life. That's why the prophecy is for the edification, encouragement, building up the bride. The Father doesn't look at him and see sin. The Father doesn't look at him and see his shortness, his failures. He's like, listen, I took care of that and nailed it to the cross. The only thing I'm searching is the place that I want to bring experience with the revelation of the knowledge of God so that you can rise up into the fullness of what you are in Jesus. Curtis, I just feel that like I just saw you in like a big season of waiting, and like the weeks seemed to turn into years. And it just got more and more and more. And those people that were placed in your life that were supposed to be the ones that called you forth into that destiny, they may not have taken their position. But it's because they needed someone to take a position for them. But God never left you. He never forsaked you. And I just saw the Lord literally begin to place your steps. And as he began to place your steps, you begin to walk into inheritance. I saw you receiving blessings of the Lord you never could have imagined. See, See, I saw you as this little boy that had so much faith, and you could dream so big. And the enemy knew, man, if he did even one of those things that he dreamed, if he did even one of those things that he dreamed, then the kingdom of darkness would have wrecked a lot of trouble. So he comes and he begins to try to steal identity. He begins to speak lies so that we agree with the lies. Beloved, this is the time where we end that. We break our agreements with the lies that have been spoken. And we agree with the affirmation of the Father, with the finished work of Jesus Christ and the fullness of the revelation of that man. And we arise into our sonship, and we violently take by force that which was promised and destined for us in Christ Jesus. And Curtis, I saw the Lord put new armor on you. I literally saw him just begin to dress you like this. Put it on. He was so gentle with you. You were his dearly loved son, and he was so gentle. And he began to put new armor all the way over you because you've been feeling like you're in a lot of warfare. And you're looking around, where are the fathers? And the Father says to you, I've equipped you, son. I've equipped you to arise into the fullness of who you are. And this is the season that you do this. Father, right now, we release your grace over him. We release your grace over him to walk in the fullness, that dream, Curtis, that you laid down for another to pick up. The Lord said, I anointed you for it. I destined it in your life. I destined it in your life, and I'm still manifesting it. I'm still calling it forth. You're a son. You're a son. God's stirring to remembrance right now that promise, that prophetic promise. He's stirring it up within you right now. You even stopped talking about the promise, Curtis. You stopped talking about it. And the Lord says, believe again, Curtis. Believe again, my son. I'm going to manifest it through you. I'm more than enough for you. My grace is sufficient for you. You were not abandoned. You were fully accepted. Identity, destiny, identity and destiny. Father, we bless him as your son. We bless him with identity. We speak wholeness and health over him. In Jesus' name. This is what we're called to do as fathers. This is what we're called to do as fathers. That's why we need to let go of the depression of our circumstances. Because we're on assignment every single day. We're never promised tomorrow. So if you woke up today, listen, your day is filled with destiny. Your day is filled with assignments to be a father, to be a father to the fatherless, and to speak life and hope and destiny over them. So I encourage you, look around today. Call your father. Tell your father how much you love him, how much his sacrifice has meant to you, how you would not be where you are today if it wasn't. Speak those affirmations so he can turn into that place that we saw when people were thinking good thoughts and speaking good words, and he felt honored, and he felt honored. This is the culture of love, that we prefer each other over ourselves, that your needs to me. You know, when I went to write the book, everybody thought that I was totally outside the will of God. Not everybody, but a lot of people. So it took me a long, 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 long time to make that decision, to actually step out and do it. But what if we came to the place where I desired for you to have your inheritance more than I desired mine? That's Jesus, beloved. That's Jesus. What if your inheritance meant something to me and I didn't take it lightly? And I believed in you and stood next to you, encouraged you. That's destiny. That's identity. And that's what God is doing. So I just want to invite Randy Horn. We're going to close. I just want to release the Father's blessing over each one of us so that we can walk away today, know that we have been labeled by God. And we can walk away today in faith in Jesus Christ and allow Him to birth that promise through us because we're walking in our sonship. So just receive this blessing from the Father.